And now, 6:30.
Stop your line.
Low speed of stand.
Low speed of stand, sir.
Hard left.
Hard left, sir.
Men at sea. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the War Shipping Administration, presents another in the new series of Our Men at Sea, the men who man the largest merchant marine the world has ever known.
Supplies are among the items landed smoothly on the beach to supply one infantry division over a 30-day period. Shipping and unloaded proceeded with clock-like precision. 600,000 canned rations, 48,000 pounds of coffee, 102,000 pounds of flour.
102,000 pounds of flour. That's a lot of dough and a lot of work. I know it sounds easy when you read off the figures that way, black typewritten figures on white paper, but there's a story behind those figures. A story of beans, bullets, and oil. And of the men who bring them where they'll do the most good. The beans for our men, the oil for our machines, the bullets for our enemies.
60,000 cans of milk, 36,000 pounds of sugar, 200,000 cans of fruit juice, 12,500 cans of jam.
12,500 cans of jam. That's the soup kind, the kind you eat. Well, here's the story of the jams behind the jam. Just for the record, my name is Bob Mason. Robert E. Mason, to be exact. I was aboard the Liberty ship, the SS John Stark, as a War Shipping Administration representative. My job was to observe, much in the manner of a war correspondent, what took place aboard ship on the trip, and to remain on the beach at our destination to record the disposition of the supplies brought there by the convoy. Stark was carrying a mixed cargo of materiel and some troops in a convoy bound for Okinawa. We had a little trouble about 5 days out when we ran into a blow that sort of roughed up the deck cargo. But our first real action was on A-10. A-10. 10 days before assault day. It was mid-afternoon and a jet plane swooped out of the clouds and nosedived into the center of the convoy. He dropped one bomb, but missed everything. Then he circled to the rear of the convoy in a wide arc and started toward us at high speed. When he was about 3,000 yards away, the other ships opened up. We waited until he got within range of our 20.
Do not fire until I give the word. Do not fire until I give the word.
1,800 yards away and coming fast. On the bridge, trouble ahead.
Let it go, sir. The torpedo coming right at us.
Hard left. Hard left, sir.
1,000 yards away and still coming.
Fire.
800, 600, 400. Get him, Hank! Here he comes! 200, 100. We got him. Our gun shattered the cockpit of the plane and it plunged into the sea within 100 yards of the starboard beam. And that tin fish he dropped missed the stern by some 10 feet. That was a close one, Captain.
Yes, Mason. Looks like the fun has started.
How do you mean, Captain?
Well, we're getting pretty close to our objective. You notice how the convoy has been growing the last couple of days?
Huh?
Well, the minute you start getting close to the beach, the buzzards start dropping on you. Crazy. One jet plane coming out of the sky to attack a whole convoy. But it happens. And there's a little business of another gale which seems to be coming up. If the barometer isn't lying. Get out of here, pup. Come on, come on. Be a good dog. Out, out. This mutt has annoyed the life out of me this trip. Chief, Bill Johnson.
Yes, sir?
This dog is a nuisance, Bill. Whose is it?
Oh, that's Fuchs, sir. He belongs to Jim Stevens and A.B.
Well, hasn't this guy, Stevens, ever been aboard a ship?
He's been shipping for some time now. He happens to be a close friend of mine.
Now, you take that dog below with you and get hold of Stevens and tell him to keep it out of here. Make it strong.
Would you like to tell him yourself, sir?
No, you tell him.
Why? Well, he's right out here cleaning up.
Hmm?
You see, he's kind of a cocky kid, and he...
Well, all right, Chief. Take the dog out and get Stevens in.
Aye, aye. Here, Boots. Come on, fella. Come on.
He's kind of an appealing little mutt at that.
Yeah, I know. I like dogs, but not on the bridge. Boots is the kind of animal that, well, every time he gets in here, he rips up the bed, chews up a couple of papers, and generally tears the place apart.
Captain, here he is, sir.
All right. Come on in, Jim. Don't stand out there where I can't see you.
It's safer out here, sir.
I want you in here.
Yes.
Now, look, Jim. It's that dog.
The dog?
Boots. Your dog.
Oh, that dog.
Is there another dog?
No, sir.
All right. There isn't quite enough room in here for me and the mutt, too. One of us will have to leave.
Boots will be very disappointed, sir.
I regret that, but unfortunately, he gets in my way. Now, the next time I find him in here...
Yes, sir. I'll keep him below.
I'll see that you do. Bill, let's see if we can get that screen door and have Jim put it up.
Yes, sir. Oh, that'll do it, sir. That way you can keep the door open and keep both of them out. I mean...
Both of them? What do you mean, both of them?
Well, you see, sir, what he meant was that...
Sir, I meant Boots and Lilac.
Lilac? Who in thunder is Lilac?
The cat, sir.
A cat? A cat, too? You see what I meant, Mason? About a storm coming up. It's already raining cats and dogs.
£2,000 of lard, £2,000 of salt, 1,000 pounds of yeast, 500 pounds of accessory rations, razor blades, shaving cream, toothpaste,
cigarettes, novelties, nuts. Toothpaste. There was a stiff wind and a heavy sea blowing up the next day, and it looked like that gale was going to catch us right in the teeth. Out on deck, everybody was lending a hand to make sure our deck cargo was safe and securely to the deck. I was wandering around watching the work and making notes.
All right, you guys. Catch that wire over there. Do a take on that turnbuckle.
We're doing the best we can, Chief.
Work faster and talk less. You don't believe we're in for it? Take a look at those white caps.
What do you say, Chief? Are we in for a blow?
Oh, hello, Mason. Yeah, I don't like it. Jim, why don't you use a marlin spike?
I tried that, Chief, but what?
Don't talk back. No, not that way, man. Don't you know better than to put slack on deck cargo in weather like this?
But I wasn't, Chief. Of course I know better. What do you think I...
Sure it. We're running into a gale and there's work to do. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Nerves. I'm feeling a little jumpy. Carry on here, will you? I'm going to get Cookie to whip me up a cup of mud.
Jim, the barometer's still nosediving.
Oh, hello, Mr. Mason.
How's the zoo, Jim?
Oh, fine, fine. Now, that screen door's working good, too.
Say, Jim.
Yes, sir?
I hope you don't think I'm snooping.
Oh, no. What's on your mind?
What's the matter with your friend, the chief? He and you are old friends, aren't you?
Oh, the best. We went to high school together back home.
Uh-huh. I thought he was older than you.
He is, a year. Got out of school a year ahead, too. He's a good guy.
Sure, seems like a nice guy, but... Must be off his speed or something. It seemed to me he was a little short-tempered there a while ago.
Well, you look like an okay guy, so I'll tell you. I think he's... Well, he's too tight.
Tight?
I mean, you know in sports when you train down too fine and sort of get a little stale? Like in baseball, when a potential 400 batter gets a couple of weeks where he can't bat his way out of a paper bag. That's what I think it is.
You mean he tightens up when things start puffing?
That's right. I think he's so anxious to get the job done, he gets all tense for a while, and that causes his reaction.
Now, what's the matter? Then?
What's going on?
What's wrong here?
And where's the chief?
You men get up on the boat deck and wait for orders.
What is it? What's wrong?
The ship's breaking up!
Come on, the ship's breaking up!
The ship was breaking up. That strong wind and heavy sea was tearing us into two parts, which is not a very good way to cross the Pacific. I lost Jim somewhere along the way, but I raced up to the bridge to find out what was happening and maybe lend a hand.
Turner!
Aye, sir.
Keep her running before the sea. Dead slow, Turner.
Dead slow, sir.
Johnson! Johnson! Well, in heaven's name, is it, Chief?
Can I help, Captain?
Yes, fine deal.
Captain!
Where have you been?
I tried to get over to see what happened, but
I know what happened. Now, never mind. Take Bergman and get over there. The ship's split wide open, right below the storage room. Everything in that dry storeroom probably washed out by now. The break is across deck. The first thing you do is start rigging heavy wires and turnbuckles around through the deck pipe. They can keep that brake from going all the way across. Get going. I'll be right there.
Come on, Bergman.
Where's Sparks with that answer for me? I had to break radio silence to contact the convoy commander. Turner, tell Sparks to get me up on deck. Come on, Mason. Get down there and take a look.
You think we'll have to abandon the ship?
Not if I can help it.
There! Oh, there! Right here, Captain. Those wires and turnbuckles will never hold us.
Oh, we'll see. Get the men to work pumping out the fore and after keep tanks.
Let's go, men.
Bergman?
Yeah.
Try and block that leak with wood braces. Get some of the men to put up bags, blankets, rags, anything, so long as you get a plug.
There's a message from CONCOM, sir. Permission granted to reduce speed. Change of course. Authorized as imperative. Right. Corvette C-10 authorized to stand by as escort. Keep us advised. Morris, convoy commander.
Good. Here's that Corvette coming up now. Ship's rocking like two baby carriages. You think you can save her?
That's my job, Mason. I think I know how to do it, too. Johnson, Bergman, water.
Yes.
All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to upship that heavy lift jumbo purchase tackle.
You mean the 50-ton jumbo?
That's right. It has a hauling power of 150 tons. Now, we're going to stretch it along the main deck forward and after the mooring bridge and close that brake. We'll hold the ship together with the standing part of the jumbo gear taking the gypsy on the jumbo wing.
Okay. All right. Go, Mason.
Captain, you think it'll work?
It'll better work, Mason. It's got to.
It did. It was like taking two blocks of wood, laying a pencil across them, and then tying the pencil on each end to its respective block. The men got right on the job, and following the captain's orders, the break was slowly but surely closed. It was one of the most amazing and heartwarming things I've ever seen. A ship, practically in two pieces, being held together by a jumbo boom, iron determination, and a prayer.
Wool shirts, 20,000 leather gloves, 20,000 bars of bath soap, 20,000 bath towels.
20,000 bath towels. I'll be using them to clean up the deck so it chews the rag. A minus three. We somehow managed to maintain our position in the convoy. There wasn't much of an alternative. The nearest port was a couple of planets away. So we puffed along in a ship held together by the cargo packages. 3 days before assault day, Major Roy W. McBride, the troop commander of the ship, got all the officers together and briefed them.
And therefore, we land at this point. I believe that's all I have. You all have your instructions to the precise minute. Any questions? All right, gentlemen, that's all.
It was quite a thing to watch the group breaking up into its separate little components and see the information being passed on down to the men.
And you men will stick to your stations unless you're ordered elsewhere. Is that clear? Every man will wait for my signal to begin firing. And watch what you're shooting at. There'll be a lot of ships all around.
All you Sydney grasshoppers here, they're not going to fly. Now, for Pete's sake, each man take care of your plane like it was your girlfriend.
Every jeep will be ready to roll. We'll give them the regular inspection before.
They'll probably be headed concentrate the fire at that point.
Watch out particularly for those crazy kamikazes. They like to land on our ship.
Everybody had a specific assignment for that 0 hour. Of course, how close we'd come to working everything out on a button would depend on Mr. Zapp. And Mr. Zapp had a habit of trying to gum up the work.
£30,280 of laundry soap, 12,000 pairs of shoes, 15,000 shorts, 10,000 undershirts, 24,000 pairs of wool socks, 10,000 handkerchiefs.
10,000 handkerchiefs. That's a lot of handkerchiefs, so dry your tears. We're getting there. A minus two. As we got closer and closer to our objective, the promise of danger seemed to loosen a lot of tongues.
How's the menagerie holding up, Jim?
Well, Turn, I think they're disgusted with the whole situation.
Yeah?
Both of them, Boots and Lyle, I seem to be a little worried. I'll tell you something, though.
Yeah?
You talk of worrying. I'll never forget the first time I was in convoy. My ship was in Coffin Corner.
Hey, what's that?
Coffin Corner?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, soldier.
If you should happen to wake up one morning and look around you, if there's nothing to your port side and nothing astern of you, brother, that's Coffin Corner. It's like being all alone with a girl who's trying to marry
you. You think that's something, huh? Well, the last trip out on the Alabama Victory, we got knocked off by a kamikaze. I was below playing poker with some of the boys, and I had just gone up on deck with some air because those birds down there were smoking like chimneys. When, boom, general quarters.
Well, what did you do, go home?
I wish I could have. Well, I was assigned to a gun crew as a shell passer, but we never had a chance to get the gun into action. When the abandoned ship order was given, boom, over the side I went. I swam nearly a mile before I was picked up by a destroyer. But what galled the devil out of me was that all about me, floating very nicely in the water, were poker chips. $156 worth that I had in my pockets when that banana head hit us.
Oh, it's a good thing for you guys that the jumbo room's holding the ship together.
Hey,
you
know, guys.
Yeah, where is it, Bergman?
I think I got some news you might want to hear.
Okay, out with it.
We're not going in on A-Day.
Scuttlebutt, Bergman. When are we going in?
I don't know for sure. Maybe A+2.
Well, they better make it soon. How long do they think we can hold this tub together with our imagination?
$12 million Hathalone tablets for purifying water. 1,209,000 salt tablets. 40,000 bottles of insect repellent.
40,000 bottles of insect repellent. You can see what that would be for. A-1. The men were restless, sweating at not being in on A-Day. In the wardroom on the radio, a shady lady was making a speech. Her name, Tokyo Rose.
Nice American boys get wise to yourself. Give up the fight and get home sooner. Why should the stay-at-home make millions in profits and steal your wives and your sweethearts and your jobs? Think it over, Yang. Now, here's a little memory music for you.
Turn her off. She's all wet. You couldn't have been talking to me. I'm not a Yank. Can you imagine calling a Texan a Yank?
A-Day. Assault. On the lower deck, Chaplain O'Rourke said mass. He was the only man of God of any denomination aboard ship, and every man aboard attended at least one of the masses.
May our Lord Jesus Christ endow thee.
The lookout, high up in the crow's nest, went to his knees in prayer and rose without ever taking his eyes off the horizon.
Ye and eat ye all of this, for this is my body.
All were asking God to help the men on the beach.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon me. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai, may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ keep thy soul unto life everlasting.
A+1. Coming into unload, with the ship held together by a jumbo boom and raw will. Night and blackness, and the island looming up before us. Up on the bridge, we strained our eyes into the darkness, trying to see through the rain.
That's it. Dead ahead. Okinawa. Objective.
Captain, dead ahead. That destroyer.
She's seen us. There go her running lights.
Hard right.
Hard right, sir.
She's on the hard left.
Captain, she's coming right into us. We'll hit her amidship.
And that's where the torpedoes are.
Here she comes.
Not more than 5 yards away. I could almost look right down the barrels of her gun.
Just a little more and both ships would have been blown to bits.
Chief, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing. Maybe there is something wrong with me. My knees are shaking so hard I can't stop.
You? I thought it was me. Hey, it is me.
Well, don't tell anybody, man, but I'm shaking all over. I'll tell you one thing, though. That man was a swell sailor.
Well, I'm glad we're all alive to compliment him.
Forget it. We still got those floating mines to worry about.
A little while later, the engine stopped. We rolled a little in the waves. All around us were the misty shapes of ships, as far as the eye could see. The port was Okinawa. We were here.
$20,000 tins of sunburned cream, 30,000 added chap lipsticks, 40,000 5-gallon cans of water.
40,000 5-gallon cans of water. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, divide that by 20,000. That gives each man about 10 gallons to wallow around in for 30 days. 10 gallons for shaving, bathing, washing, drinking. Take your pick, you can't have them all. Don't you know there's a war on, Posey? A plus two. Unloading under fire. For a while, things were breaking for us. The stuff was moving. But pretty soon, there were 5 Jap planes over. 2 Zeros and 3 Bettys. The Bettys are fast jet bombers and strafers that carry a crew of 3. The guards who moved to the gunfire trying to get into position for a run. One was hit, went out of control. He crawled right under the deck of a nearby ship. There was a big billow of smoke, and the ship turned over on its back and sank. Another Betty screamed down from 2,000 feet. He pulled out sharply within 100 feet of the water and came right at us with all his guns blazing away. He started to rise. He looked like he had us. He did. Right where we wanted him. As he came closer, our screams done blew the whole plane apart. Pieces of that plane flew the entire length of the deck. The plane's motor went through 2 after booms, completely taking them apart. Then it ricocheted to port, cutting off the tall port ventilator above the engine room, and crashed against the midship housing just above the officers' quarters, falling to the boat deck. All through this, the unloading operations continued. We wouldn't exactly call them smooth, but we were getting that stuff onto the beach, even though the ship was a mess. The number 2 hold, where the most valuable and most dangerous cargo is usually kept, was on fire. Still, the chief, dazed and with a trickle of blood running down his face and a self wound, raced finally on his way to the hold. Jim called to him as he went by.
Bill, where are you going?
The number 2 hold's burning. Gotta find a captain.
Somebody better think of something before that if we're going to save that cargo and the ship.
Yeah, I wish my head was clear. Maybe I ought to do something about it. Maybe I will.
Bill, keep away from that. Come on back here.
Jim, what's in that hole?
Cross the bombs. Now go up. Bill. Okay, you guys, get those horses playing right here. Come on, I'm staying here right now.
Bill, get away from that. It'll go up any minute.
Don't worry. I know how to stop it. You guys work that charge. Quick, keep it going.
Bill's
going to
be all right. I think he's got that fire lit.
Hey, he has. He licked it. He's batting 400 again.
That's the way it really went. And plenty of stuff came out of those holes and got on that beach where the guys could use it. Now go ahead and read those figures off. Go ahead and make it count.
40,000 pairs of nylon shoelaces.
Sorry, madam, we cannot supply you with nylon stockings. We need shoelaces that don't rot. Nylon shoelaces.
20,000 waterproof match boxes.
How do you feel now, soldier?
Okay, Doc.
Anything else I can do?
Like a cigarette, maybe?
Sure.
And light a cigarette with a wet match. Waterproof matchboxes.
1,000 rat traps.
Do I have to explain that one? A plus 5. The SS John Stark's job was over.
She was getting up steam and making ready to cast off. I was in the captain's office saying goodbye.
We'll be getting underway in a few minutes, Mason. You all ready to get back to the beach?
I've already set up headquarters in the foxhole.
Yes?
My home for the next 30 days. And I draw up a set of facts and figures for the War Shipping Administration back in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish I was going with you to see how the ship holds up. You think you'll make Fort O.K., Captain?
I think so. It'll be tough going with that jumbo boom holding the ship together, but we'll make it just like we made it here. Hello, Boots.
Here, Boots. Come on out of there. All right, Captain.
Oh, forget it, Jim. Boots can come in here any time he likes. He saved my life when that Jap Betty came apart all over us. I was knocked out with a concussion, and Boots must have been blown through the screen door into the room. And the first thing he did was lick my face. Well, that brought me to, and I got out of here in a hurry.
Well, what do you think of dogs now, Captain?
Oh, okay, but keep that cat alive, lad. Keep him out of here.
Heard, sir.
Okay, heard. Just keep that cat out of here.
Cat?
Cat?
Mm-hmm.
Where did the other ones come from?
From Lilac, sir. She was busy doing the unloading, too. She's presented us with four kittens.
Unloading proceeded on schedule to supply one infantry division over a 30-day period. The cargo included beans, bullets, oil.
A precious cargo, beans, bullets, and oil. Beans for our men, oil for our machines, bullets for our enemies.
Hey there, just a minute. One more thing. This is Jim. And I thought I should tell you one more thing about our story tonight. You know, it was Admiral Chester W. Nimitz who called our war in the Pacific a war of beans, bullets, and oil. And you know something else? Men with previous sea experience who are now working at a job ashore are the men needed to deliver these supplies to the fighting front. The Merchant Marine needs 35,000 skilled merchant seamen and officers by January 1st, 1946. It's virtually impossible to train such men in a short time. So if you are a rated or licensed man, a mate, an engineer, or an AB, here is an important war job that only you can handle. Qualified men, officers, or seamen with certificates are urged to write or wire collect to Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C., giving your rating and address. If you are accepted for duty, you will receive standby pay immediately and be furnished with transportation to port of assignment. Take that Pacific cruise and see Japan lose.
Tonight's story, entitled Beans, Bullets, and Oil, was written by Mort Green and was the fifth in the new action series of Our Men at Sea, presented as a public service in cooperation with the War Shipping Administration by the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations. Bernard Lenro was featured as narrator, and Mason Adams played Jim. Music was by Felix McGuire, and the production was directed by Walter McGraw. This is the National Broadcasting Company.